1 Timothy 4. We're going to be in verses 11 through 16 today. Someone told me recently, I think it was this week, maybe it was last week, I can't remember now, of a pastor here in Austin who was involved in some sexual immorality, and the church kept him. He's still the pastor of the church that he was there before. And I was sad. I was sad for the pastor, and I was sad for the church. Both. Then someone told me recently, actually it was on the 4th of July, of some friends of ours who are attending such and such church. I won't give the name of the church. But I happen to know that church, and I know what they teach and what they're like. And I know that that church does not teach the scriptures, because I know the church. And I know some of the things that they stand for and teach. And I was sad. I was sad for my friends who are now going to this church that's teaching. It doesn't teach God's word. But I was also sad for that church. Now, those two examples I gave you get at perhaps the two most important things you should look at in a pastor. We've been talking about this. But the first one is their life. And the second one is their teaching. That's what you're looking for. Life and teaching. And we've already talked about this. But the next section we're going to look at brings it up again. And so we're going to talk some more about it, but in, you know, a little bit different way, perhaps. But I'm going to read, this is 1 Timothy 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now I want you to look at verse 16, because verse 16 is really a summary of verses 1 through 16. And so we're reading today only 11 through 16, but verse 16 summarizes the whole section that we've been going through. And so he says two things. Keep a close watch on yourself, watch yourself, and watch your teaching. That's what he says. And so let's go back then and watch your teaching. Look at verses 1 through 6. The Spirit expressly says, in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So he's talking about false teaching, right? And then he goes through some of what that is, verses 2, verses 3, and so on. Verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good... He's talking about if you're teaching the right things, what I just told you in verse 5. If you're teaching what I told you in verse 5, you'll be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Okay, well, verses 1 through 6 are really getting at the right teaching. You need to be teaching the right things. Look at verse 11. Command and teach these things. What are these things? It's the things he's been talking about. Look at verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And so this keeps coming up in this section. It comes up a bunch of times. And it's part of watch this and watch your teaching. That's All throughout that section, we get that. Now, watch yourself. Go to verse 7 through verse 10. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Train yourself for godliness. This is you now. This isn't your teaching. This is train yourself for godliness. And then he talks about bodily training, but training in godliness is far better than bodily training. We talked about that way back when. Look at verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set for the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's your life. That's watch yourself. Look at verses 14 and 15. Don't neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. This is you. This is how you live. Every verse in chapter 4 deals either with the pastor's life or the pastor's teaching. One or the other. Every verse. And then verse 16 sums it all up. It's like a summary. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. In doing this, you will save yourself and your hearers, he says. And so you'll save people if you do this. Now, today, what I want to do is focus on these two commands. Watch yourself, watch your teacher. Actually, really, we're going to focus on primarily on the first of those. Watch yourself. That's what we're going to focus on. And we're going to focus just in this section now. I'm not going to go backwards. We're going to look at verses 11 through 16. So I want you to look at verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And this is, I told you I added something I read this morning. I was in Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm just going to go there real fast, and I'm going to read to you what I said, because it fit Timothy. Here's Jeremiah. God has said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God said that to Jeremiah. Then Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Sounds like Moses, right? Moses said the same thing. I don't know how to talk. You got the wrong guy, God. But he's saying, I'm just a youth. That's all I am. He's probably a teenager when they had this conversation, when God spoke to him and he's speaking back to God. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You see this, I'm a youth, I can't do it. I'm just too young. And God says, no, I'm with you. Don't say that. Okay, now look at verse 12. We're back in 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth. That's what Jeremiah was worried about. But set the believers an example in all of these different areas. And he goes on. Now, when I was young, when I was single, I actually memorized this verse. Because it really encouraged me, because I was young. And he's saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's the version that I memorized. It was the NIV. And it was a statement to me as a young man to press on in the faith of Christ. It was an encouragement to me that in Christ, I could live such a life that I could be an example to the believers, because that's what he says. And I could do that as a young man. I didn't have to like wait until I matured 60 years in the faith before I could be an example for the believers. I could do it now. And so there were older believers that I looked up to, you know, mentors, teachers, and so on. But I saw in this verse that in Christ, youth is not a barrier to walking with God. It just is not. In Christ, what matters is not how old are you. That's not what matters. Sometimes we think that way. But if you look around sometimes, just kind of, you know, look around in churches and see people, you can kind of see this. I saw this, that youth is not a barrier. Because when I looked around, you know, there were older, godly men and women who had been walking with the Lord for a long time. And then I looked up to them, and they were serving the Lord. But there were also these kinds of people. I saw men and women who'd been in the church for 60 years, who had no maturity at all, spiritually. They didn't serve Jesus. They didn't really care to reach their neighbors. They weren't interested in that. Their priorities were focused on their own lives, and they were just living their lives. They didn't want to obey. Church existed to serve them, not the other way around. And they never grew spiritually. I saw this. It's like, you know, if you never use your muscles, they grow weak. The same thing's true in the spiritual world. If you never use your spiritual muscles, so to speak, you don't grow spiritually. You can't grow spiritually unless you actually use the spiritual muscles. If we could talk that way, spiritual muscles. But that's what a lot of these people did. They just sat there. They didn't use anything. They weren't interested in obeying the Lord. So I saw this group of people in the church. Then I also saw young believers who loved Jesus with all their hearts and wanted to obey him. I saw such people. And I saw that some of these young believers, they knew the Lord for 2 months. But they knew more about Jesus than some of these people who'd been in the church for 60 years. And so you're trying to put this together, right? I'm seeing this disconnect. Like, these people, they've been in the church forever. These people have known the Lord for 2 months, but they know more than they do. Because they want to obey and they don't. This is what I'm seeing. This is the dynamic that I'm seeing. It's kind of like God's, how I put it, God's math, you know, spiritual math, if we can talk spiritual math. In God's math, age doesn't add anything necessarily. In God's math, what adds something is obedience. Often we judge wisdom and maturity only by age, and that's a mistake. There can be a correlation. I'm not saying, you know, age doesn't produce wisdom at all. It can if you're serving God over time. And you do grow in wisdom, and you do grow in maturity over time if you're serving God. But if you're not serving God, you don't grow in wisdom and maturity at all. And I don't care how old you get, you just don't grow in wisdom and maturity. And so age by itself does nothing to mature you in Christ. And so God's math is not just years. God's math factors in other things. Now, when you're young, that's actually an encouraging truth to hear. It says to you, hey, young man, or hey, young woman, you can be an example to the church. You can. Look at verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example for the believers. You're young, but set an example for the believers. You, as a young person, can do that. Scripture's just plain about that. And so it's not just older people whom you can look up to. You're looking for obedience. You're looking for people whose hearts love the Lord, not just people who are old. So, if you will walk with the Lord, there should be people who look up to you. You know, wherever you are in the faith, there's probably somewhere in your world someone who's not as far along as you are in your faith. Someone who can look up to you, just as you might look up to somebody else. And so don't ever think, I'm young, I got nothing to offer. If you have godliness, you got something to offer. And so live your life as if you have something to offer. Because if you don't live your life for Jesus, you have nothing to offer. So Paul was saying, don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but live your life so that you set an example for the believers. You're young, but be an example. In Christ, you can be an example. Now, in what areas are you to be an example? He tells you. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That kind of covers your life, doesn't it? You start looking at those things, you know. He's talking about your words. He's talking about your behavior. He's talking about your heart, how you love. He's talking about faith. You know, are you willing to take risks and step out for God and do things that take faith to do? In purity, he's talking about that your sexual life. And so your words should be truthful, encouraging. You should handle money with integrity, letting go of it. Your heart should love people. You should be willing to do hard things and trust God when He calls you to do hard things. Your sexual life should be pure. This is how you live. This is kind of Paul's, he spells out a few areas of your life. So if you're young, which from our perspective, you're all young. And so you young folks, I'll talk to us too. We're young too, right?
Wow. Yeah. Too much wisdom as anybody.
What's that?
We need just as much wisdom as anybody.
We do. That's true. That's true. And so, us young people, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example in how you live. You can do this because it is Jesus who lives his life through you. The life you live by faith, you live by Him. You live by faith in Christ. It's Galatians 2:20. Now, this is part of watching your life. Verse 16, right? Watch yourself. Well, this is part of it. It's getting at how you live. In this section, though, there's another aspect of watching your life. So we're going to go to verse 14. Verse 14 says this, do not neglect the gift you have. This gets at your ministry. This gets at how you serve God. This gets at using your spiritual gifts to serve the church or serve other people. That's what this gets at. This is part of your life. Watch yourself. This is part of watching yourself. It's not just watch your speech and all that. It's watch also how are you ministering. And so we have to live our daily life. That's verse 12. And how you serve in ministry. Both are important. Often people focus on just one of those areas. You've seen this before. I know people so focused on ministry that they neglect their personal life. And they're out there. They're serving the poor. They're sharing their faith. They're teaching. But they're also controlled by money. Or sex. Or anger, or something else. Or like the pastor I told you about in the beginning of this message, who was definitely involved in ministry, but we had a problem with his life, his personal life. And so that's a problem. And what happens is, when you're doing that, when you're so focused on ministry that you miss your personal life can wind up ruining your ministry. You don't have a ministry anymore because you were so focused on your ministry. You need to be more focused on God and let Him, you know, your personal life matters. It's important. And so that focus, you know, we're just going to go do ministry and miss our personal life, that's sin. But I know others who are the opposite. They're so focused on living their daily life just right that they don't have time to serve. They neglect it completely. These people, they may be honest with their words, and that's good. They should be. They may be sexually pure. That's good. They should be. They may be good hard workers and reliable, and that's good. They should be. All wonderful things, but they won't serve God. They won't get out there and minister. As far as God's kingdom goes, they just sit home and do nothing. They don't understand that God's building your character so that you can know Him and serve Him. That's actually part of the point. Don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect it. Get into ministry. Serve Him. So, if Christianity were something like soccer, I'm going to give you kind of two different scenarios. We would have some people who want to get into the game and play, but they don't condition themselves, so they don't play very well. And they get all kinds of penalties on the field because they're not disciplined and they hurt their team. There are people like that. But there are also people who they work on their skills and their conditioning, and they're great. They just don't want to play. They don't want to get in the game. They're ready, they just don't want to. And so they think the Christian life is just feed your soul and live in wisdom. But they have no clue that if you're not serving, you are not living in wisdom. If you're not serving, you actually are not living the Christian life. Because the norm for the Christian life is to be serving. That's the norm. Ministry is part of the Christian life. It's not the whole thing. That's the mistake some people make. They turn ministry into the whole thing. It's not the whole thing. But it's part of it. It's part of being a Christian. It's actually one of the most basic elements of the Christian life, is to get out there and serve. Jesus saves you to serve him. He makes you godly to serve him. And so what this means is we need verse 12. Set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. We need that example. We also need verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that you have. We need both of those verses because they're both part of your life. We need to be an example in all those areas. And we need to use our gifts in ministry. Both of those things. There are godly men and women who do both of those things. In fact, I would say to you, those are the godly men and women when you see both of those things. So, verse 14, do not neglect gifts that you have. Use them. What's this look like? So, I'm just going to throw out possibilities here. Maybe you lead us in worship on Sunday. Maybe you share with us some things God has shown you in his word this week. I mean, it's okay. Go. You can minister to us. Hey, even if you're young, even if you're a teenager, you can minister to us. And so maybe lead us in a prayer. Maybe bring a song to share with us, even if you're not leading worship. We think songs are just for worship. You might have a song that God spoke to you through a song this week, and you want to share it with the church. Well, bring it on Sunday. You don't have to be leading worship to do that. Bring it. Just say, hey, could I pull up this song and have us listen to it? It just spoke to me. And share it. Maybe tell us how it spoke to you or why. Maybe you bring a scripture and you read it. Maybe you open for us in the beginning. Maybe it's not just on Sunday though. Maybe you open your home for people. You just show hospitality to people that you might be wanting to reach out to. Maybe you join a prayer meeting. Maybe you start reaching out to lost people from your country. You know, maybe you think of Karenny people that you want to reach out to, like the couple you're going to be meeting with, or Indonesian people. You're Indonesians. You're going to have natural connections in that world that I won't have. And maybe there are some Indonesians you just want to reach out to that God puts on your heart. Hey, maybe we should just, let's have them over for dinner. And, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe you reach out to some refugees, you know, people who are poor, and you just help them. They have a lot of needs. Maybe you can help them with some of their needs. Maybe you meet with some other men or with some other women to just walk with God, help them walk with God. There are lots of things you can do. And by the way, this is all maybes. There could be more things than this, and you don't, it's not like I'm saying you gotta do every one of these things. And so there are a lot of things you can do, But listen to me. Don't just sit there. Don't do that with your Christian life. If all you do is sit there, you are not living the Christian life. Because Christians are not supposed to just sit around and live their own lives. That's not why you're saved. And so do not neglect your gift. Use it and serve. That is part of watching your life. The ways you serve God for the kingdom are part of your life. He then says, verse 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Do y'all know what immerse means? Immerse is to, dunk it in. Like you fill the sink all with water, take your rag and just bury it under the water and immerse it in the water. That's what immerse means. Completely, completely surround you with this stuff. Literally, the text doesn't use the word immerse. It says, practice these things, be in them. That's what it literally says, be in them. Be completely filled with these things. You should be immersed in godly teaching. You should be immersed in scripture every day. You should be immersed in some kind of ministry. You should be practicing godly teaching, practicing what scripture says, practicing using your gifts to serve others. Now he's, watch yourself, watch your teaching. Godly teaching is what your salvation is built on. Godly teaching and a godly life and ministry are what God will use in you to bring others to Him. That's verse 16. Watch yourself, watch your teaching, persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Okay, so watch your life. Watch your teaching. We focused on the life part today. Be an example. Use your gifts in ministry. All of that is part of godliness. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you to think of at least one place that God may be calling you to serve Him in a way that you haven't been doing yet. Or maybe you are, but you want it to, you know, take another step or something. But think of that and write it down. And what I would like to do is, actually, I don't usually do this when I have you write things down, but today I'm going to ask some people to share what are some things you've written down of where you feel God is wanting you to serve.